Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming at you for this final hour. Willie Donick here up in Buffalo. Derek Mason back at the studios. And we are excited about what we've got coming ahead here. We'll get back into some football talk later. We'll touch on the Predators matchup tonight against the Buffalo Sabres from where I sit. But, of course, it's March Madness, and we've got some great games coming up. Vanderbilt's in the NIT against UAB on Wednesday. Florida Atlantic plays Tennessee in the Sweet 16 on Thursday. So we thought, let's get some added perspective. Who's right in the middle of all that? Middle Tennessee basketball. They had a really good year this year, 19-14. They beat both UAB and Florida Atlantic, and their coach, Nick McDevitt, is on the line with us. Coach, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Coach, before we get into maybe a little scouting report to pick your brain on what fans are going to see in these next couple of nights, give us a quick update on your program. I know from the time that you got in there, you had to build it slowly. Your last 2 years have been outstanding. And, you know, it just shows you how incredible these conference tournaments can be, because you guys were just within a play here or play there of maybe getting to the big dance, but you've made huge progress.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We obviously have had, two good back-to-back seasons. Last year, winning 26 games and, winning the Conference USA East Division, getting to the finals of the CBI. And then again this year, having won 19 games and got invited to the CBI again. Had to turn that down, unfortunately, due to just too many guys on our roster that were really banged up at the end of the year. Not sure how many would have been able to play either in that or the NCAA tournament with some of the nicks and bruises that we had. But, finished strong and had a chance, as you just mentioned there, down the stretch in that semifinal game against FAU. Had the ball baseline out of bounds, down one with under 10 seconds left, and just came up a little bit short there. But all in all, had a good year, beat a top 25 team in FAU at home. We're able to win our MTE up in Canada, get some quality opponents. So had some good moments, and looking forward to next year and continuing to build it.
And so tell us what your thoughts are. We know everything's so fluid, it seems like, in college basketball with the ability for kids to transfer and all that stuff, but it looks like you built a pretty good foundation. What do you see ahead for your squad?
Well, you just brought up some of the key ingredients or key points, I should say, moving forward, is we do have a really good foundation of returning players. And now also, though, with the transfer portal, it's just it's so prevalent. And last year there were 1,770 Division I transfers, and that's amongst 363 schools. So you're talking almost five per school. This year, with still so many players that were in college during COVID and all those players having that extra year of eligibility, the grad transfer number is so high. There are just so many young men that have been in college 4 years, got another year of eligibility left, and so they're able to transfer and get immediate eligibility, and that's even if they've already transferred once. And so I think this year you'll see that number continue to increase. It's increased for about 8 or 9 years in a row, just continues to tick up. And I think it'll be closer to 2,000 this year. And when you think about that, you're talking about on average about 5.5 to 6 transfers per Division I school out there. So your program will obviously remain very fluid, at least for the next few years, and that you want to make sure that the foundation, the base, your core is a strong group of guys, because it'll be an anomaly if you had, like we had last year, we had no one transfer out, which was crazy. We were one of only 2 or 3 programs in the country that could say that. So the norm is going to be that you just got to anticipate you're going to lose some players to the transfer portal, but at the same time, you're going to be able to add some really good players to the transfer portal as well. When you think about that large of a number of prospects out there, along with high school and junior college prospects, there's really a lot of players out there that can help your team.
Wow, all those numbers, man. My head's spinning. That's a different kind of March Madness, for sure.
It is. That's a good way to say it. That's a totally different perspective to March Madness. And it can be madness, but it's part of it.
Well, let's ask about it because I'm sure there's a lot of Tennessee fans that are probably sitting there, wow, get to play Florida Atlantic, not having to play Purdue or somebody like that. But Florida Atlantic sitting there at 33-3, they lost three all year. You guys beat them once, almost beat them again in that conference tournament. We were watching those final minutes, and one bounce here and there could have made the difference in that one. So tell us about Florida Atlantic and what Tennessee fans might expect.
Well, they're really good on the offensive side of the ball. They play pretty much a four-guard lineup with two big bigs. Vladimir Goldin, their starting center, is about 7'1", 235, 240. Giancarlo Rosado is a little bit shorter in terms, 6'8", but he's probably about 250 pounds and really skilled. Soft hands, soft feet. So those guards really play well off of those guys. They do a lot of pick and roll stuff. They try to drive you off the bounce and just really spread your team out, spread you out defensively. And they've got seven players that shoot between 33% and 41% from three. Their two point guards, Brian Greenlee and Jalen Gaffney, are 2.5 to 1 assist to turnover ratio guys each. Both when we played them in the semifinals were around like 160, 165 assists each to about 60 or 65 turnovers. And when you think about having multiple guys out on the floor at times and at least one that take that good care of the ball and they're surrounded by big fives rolling to the basket and really terrific shooters out on the perimeter, it just makes them hard to defend. They're smaller than most teams because of playing that four-guard lineup. So at the three and the four spot, there's times where they're 6'2 and 6'3 at those spots, but they really force you to come out and defend them on the perimeter. And on the other end, they really just don't get beat up on the glass like you think they might because of playing a smaller lineup. They were actually one of the better rebounding teams in our league. So their lack of size, per se, at the 1-4 spots didn't prove to be something that hurt them just because on the other end, they're getting threes. You might try to take advantage of them on the block, but you're getting twos. And on the other end, they're spreading you and driving you and scoring threes. So they're tough to guard, and it'll be an interesting matchup. And to me, it's kind of strength on strength watching Tennessee's defense the other day against Duke. I'm excited to watch how they defend FAU's offense.
We'll talk with Nick McDevitt, MTSU's head men's basketball coach. Now, Coach, another team that you face that's now in the NIT, and they're going up against Vanderbilt this upcoming week, is UAB. Give us a scouting report on UAB.
Man, they are really talented. I would tell you that. They've got a multitude of Power 5 transfers. They're big. They're physical. They're aggressive. They score about half of their points. When we play, it was about 40% on offensive rebounds and getting to the free throw line. They are really good at just downhill drives. They're great bodies, a multitude, again, of 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", guys at that 3-4 spot that aren't going to settle for long jumpers. They're going to put pressure on you by trying to get downhill. And then they really go get on the glass. Trey Jemison is a mountain of a man. I mean, he's really big. He's athletic. I mean, you've got your hands cut out for you with him, transfer from Clemson. And then, he's 6'11", 260. Well, they sub in 6'10", 250, Javion Davis, who's a transfer from Mississippi State. And they just really get on the glass. K.J. Buff and Ty Brewer are big athletic fours. And they don't rely, it's like watching, it's the opposite of what you would think when you're watching FAU, who's more skill and perimeter oriented and getting points from the three-point line. Man, you play them a couple of days later, and it is a very different game. And you've really got to be able to rebound with those two guys, with that team. And the two guys that make them go are Jordan Walker and Eric Gaines. Walker is a 5'10 guard that has been first team all league last year's player of the year in our league. He is dynamic. He's had a handful of games where he's 30 plus and 40 plus scoring wise, and can really get hot and fill it up. So it'll be interesting to watch those guys and Vandy here in the next day or so.
Now, coach,
now teammates, you know, I like to shoot threes.
Yes,
right. I like to get the ball up. I like to have the green light. Jordan Walker, 333 three-point attempts on the air. So I would say, coach, he's got the green light.
He has a neon green light. It's ultra neon green. I mean, he was averaging like four makes, not four attempts, but was averaging about four makes and about 11 attempts from three per game. And he puts so much pressure on him because he makes them from like 7-8 feet behind the line. So he really stretches you out. And then when you get out there, he's not just a standstill spot up shooter. He's quick. He's fast. And so if you switch out on him, or if your post players are trying to hard hedge ball screens, you better get that coverage right, or he's in the lane. If you're too soft on it, he's making those shots. And so he by himself stretches the defense out, and you've got to get coverages and rotations right. Or you've got he and Eric Gaines, who are athletic guys that can get downhill, and the other guys just play volleyball in the glass if you can't rebound with them.
Now, Coach, I'm looking at, Coach Stackhouse and his progression since he's been at Vandy, and then your progression there at MTSU. Both of you sort of struggle early on, but now it seems that you've gotten your footing with the division. You've gotten the players that you want to continue to build your programs. Is it a little bit more difficult because of the transfers and people are in and out to build your program as quickly as you want to?
I think you can build it quickly or
sustain
quicker.
It.
You know, yeah, that's the hard part, mm-hmm. is the sustaining it. You know, used to you could – a fan could, a coach could. You're looking at your roster and you're saying, okay, here's the freshman. There'll be sophomores this year. There'll be juniors by this year. So we need to be recruiting a guy that's a high school junior and a high school senior for that position for this year. And that's just not really the case in modern-day college basketball as much as it used to be. The good side of that, because of guys, all of a sudden, he's finishing his sophomore year with you, and he transfers out. And so now he's not a junior in your program the next year. So it makes that difficult. But, however, there's so many guys that are in the transfer portal, and now a large majority are immediately eligible. And that was really the biggest thing a couple of years ago that just wasn't the case. At that time, you still had to sit out, even if it was your first transfer. So you look at our roster, we've got a lot of guys like Jalen Jordan or DeAndre Dishman, or at that time there were C.J. Jones, Jordan Davis, several guys that were starters for us when they became eligible, but their initial year here, they had to sit out. And now those same guys, because for those young men that I just mentioned, transferring here to Middle Tennessee was their first time transferring. Well, under current rules, those guys are immediately eligible. And so you can quickly get impact players on your roster. Now, to your point, you can just as quickly lose those impact players. And so that's why I think you can see the pendulum swing back and forth, where all of a sudden you lose some impact players. And you just miss on a couple that came in. Maybe they just didn't quite have the talent or the skill or the size that you thought they would have and can't quite help you. And you go from a really good year to an okay year. But you can also do the opposite in a hurry. You can have an okay year or subpar year, and then you hit on the right three or four guys in the portal or a couple of high school kids that perhaps just surprise you in a good way. And now you see it swing the other direction. I think it'll be less and less going forward where you see that slow, steady climb or the slow, steady decline. You can see some big swings back and forth depending on really your success level in retaining your players, but also what happens to your program in the portal.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate the insight. Keep building. Keep doing what you're doing. It's been exciting to watch you guys rise up here, and I know you guys will be talking about – we'll talk to another coach about how to break down you guys, hopefully, while you guys are playing in the tournament.
I like the sounds of that. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for your time today, and good luck down the road. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
All right, that's Nick McDevitt, head coach, Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, 19-14, solid, solid season for a second year in a row. Just giving us a little insight on what we're going to see the next couple of nights. UAB at Memorial Gym, 27 wins. Tough, tough game for Vanderbilt. Don't sleep on the Blazers. And then Florida Atlantic, 33-3, taking on UT in the Sweet 16. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.